Children, do you want a story? Okay. Come down to the front and we'll see what we can do. Now, this young lady, how old are you?
Six.
Six. Nine. This young lady was probably about 12 or 13. And she had a name. What's your name? Sarah. Abigail. This one was called Margaret. Margaret. Her mother was inside and she was thinking, it's time for lunch. She was busy getting lunch ready and she said, Margaret, who was supposed to be outside playing, she said, Margaret, it's time for lunch. Got to come inside. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Her mother called again, Margaret, it's time to come in for lunch. Nothing. Her mum thought, hang on a minute, I know Margaret's outside. I'm sure she's outside. And so there was, you know what Margaret was doing? What do you think girls like playing with? Maybe it's changed. Do you play with your dolls? Do you have dolls? Do you have a doll? Margaret had a doll. And what else do you think she would have with the doll? A little pram. And Margaret was going around the garden pushing this pram as though she was all important. And Mum said, Margaret, didn't you hear me call? Yes, Mummy, but I don't have to come in. What? You see, my friend told me that all Margarets are princesses. And I don't have to come in because a princess can do whatever she likes. Really? Yes. Well, this one isn't. You're coming in now. And Margaret thought, well, perhaps just this once I better do as I'm told. So in she came. And she sat down for lunch and she looked at her lunch and they said grace. And Mother was eating her lunch and Margaret wasn't eating much of hers at all. And Mum said, why aren't you eating your lunch? Well, princesses don't have to eat what they don't like. What? Yes, princesses don't have to eat what they don't like. Her mother thought, well, I better do some investigating about this one. And so she said, okay, why do you think that you are a princess? Well, my friend told me that there was a Princess Margaret and she can do what she likes. So because my name is Margaret, therefore all Margarets are princesses and I can do what I like. Really? Yes. Well, Mother says, let me tell you about Princess Margaret. You know who Princess Margaret was? Which country? You know the Queen of England is called what? Queen Elizabeth. And she had a sister called what? Princess Margaret. And this is the lady who little Margaret was trying to copy. And Mother said, hang on a minute. Let me tell you a story. You see, when Princess Margaret was your age, and she was about 12 or 13, Princess Margaret would have to get up at 8 o'clock. She would have to have breakfast and be dressed. And showered and dressed and have breakfast all over by 9. And then from 9 o'clock to about 12 o'clock she would have studies. And then from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock she would have a rest. And from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock she would have more studies. Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, you did. And you know what Margaret thought? Maybe it's not such a good idea being a princess after all. You know, it's best to be what God asks us to be, don't you think? God asks us to be just who we are for Him. Trying to pretend to be something which we're not doesn't work. And sometimes when we try to copy something else and we get to know the facts, it could be a totally different story to what we imagine. So the best thing we can do is what? Be ourselves and follow Him. What do you reckon? You can go back to your seats. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be here again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning, that we will be drawn closer to you. May we see you that little bit more clearly and love you that little bit more dearly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. He was now getting old. He had lived an interesting life. An interesting life. He'd lived it to the full. He'd taken the time to try everything that life could offer. And now he was looking back upon it all. And as he looked back, you would expect that he would have a lot of positive things to say. You would hope that he would somehow have something to say that would be positive and uplifting. You would hope to find something that was at least cheerful, cheery. But instead, we find the following. And if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And beginning with verse 1 we read, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, a king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labour which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Cheery. And then in chapter 3 we have this passage of scripture that we know so very, very well. Chapter 3 and beginning of verse 1. "To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Time to born, time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to dance, time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, time to get, time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time of war, a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? Rather cheery. And yet, it is reality. It is reality. Just before Christmas, I went with my mother to a funeral in Gippsland, a little place called Katani. I'm sure none of you would probably know of it. Little place. A gentleman who my mum actually went to school with, he was in his mid-80s, but he had been a very prosperous, successful farmer for that area. In that area, the average size farm was about 200 to 300 acres. He had 1,100 to 1,200 acres. Very modest fellow, a gentleman in many ways. And about a week before he died, the family said to him, "Is there anything you want to do?" And his whole desire was to go out and check up on the 100 acres of potatoes he had planted. That was all. But he passed on. He died. And as good as the service was, at the end of the day, there he was, and he still remains, lying in the Bunyip Cemetery. It's reality. Last week, a very well-known Hollywood identity passed away. Elizabeth Taylor. No one lives forever. No one lives forever. Nothing lasts forever. There were floods in Queensland. Devastating floods. At the same time, there were floods in Queensland, there were fires in the west. Earthquake, Christchurch, Japan. Nothing is certain anymore. And as you go through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is pointing out the grim reality of life. The damage we remember from Black Saturday. How we are still recovering from it, really. And then we look at the road toll, and we see young people, old people being destroyed every year on our roads. And I guess in many ways, when we look at the numbers, it is only a number until there's someone who you know. And for me, last year, there was someone who I did know. My cousin, second cousin, who was my age, had a 20-year-old son. And I guess, like young people, he like speeding, right? Thought he could get away with it. And a week before, the parents sat down with Derek and said, Derek, if you don't slow down, you're going to pay a terrible price one day. Slow down. The only comforting thing in the whole mess was that 3 months before, he got a girlfriend. You see, Derek was brought up with virtually no religion. But the girlfriend he found was a very staunch practicing Methodist. And the girl said to him, if you want to go out with me, you've got to go to church with me. And he did. And Derek became converted. He was so enthusiastic about church life. But on that Sunday morning, he was going to pick up his girl to go take her to church. Yes, he was speeding. Way too fast. Went around the corner, the car got completely out of control. And standing on the side of the road was something that is always standing there and never gives an inch. A gum tree. Derek was wiped out. Just another statistic for the road toll figure. Except for those who knew him. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. There is nothing certain in this life. I tried it all. Nothing. And at the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon made two statements. And it's these two statements we need to always remember. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Here we are told to remember. To remember. To remember. You know, it is such an important thing to remember, is it not? It is such an important thing to really remember. I'm reminded of a story. It's told of a man who had 3 sons. And among the many things which he taught his boys, one of them was the ability to shoot very accurately with a rifle. And every weekend he would take those boys out and he would train them to shoot with that rifle. But every weekend when he took those boys out, he would say to them, boys, that which you hold in your hand is a rifle. And a rifle is built to kill. A rifle is built to destroy. Always respect the rifle. And at the end of his little speech, he would always say this. He would say, boys, remember. Remember. You never aim a rifle at a person. Never. Remember. Years went by. And then there was a particular weekend, there was going to be a 21st birthday party. And for some unknown reason, it was only the youngest boy who could attend the party. The others were not available. And in the lounge room of the home where he was attending the party, in the corner, there was a glass case. And in the glass case, there were three rifles. And the young fellow found himself sitting next to the glass case. And it wasn't locked. And so he pulled out one of the rifles and looking at it. And it was a beautiful rifle. And as he was looking at the rifle, he happened to look up. And sitting diagonally across the room was the birthday girl, turned 21. And one of the others caught his eye and they said, "Hey, aim at the girl." And the father of the girl said, "Yeah, you can aim it." Then he added, "The rifle's not loaded. It's not loaded." And so with confidence, he aimed the rifle at the girl. And he began to pull the trigger home when the words of his father hit him. Do not aim at a person. Remember. He took the finger off the trigger. But he thought, "Hey, the man said it's not loaded." And in his mind, he started to have an argument, as it were, with his dad, saying, "Hey, it's okay, Dad. The man said it's not loaded." And so again he put his finger on the trigger and began to pull it home when the first words of his father hit him. "Son, you remember. Don't do it." Directly behind where the girl was sitting and on the wall was a picture made entirely of beautiful coloured glass. And so looking for a way out, he saw the picture there, and so he lifted the rifle up a few inches, so it was now aimed at the centre of the picture. And having aimed it at the centre of the picture, he then pulled the trigger home. And the picture was no more. The rifle was loaded. Remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Genesis chapter 1. Here's the reason why. Genesis chapter 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, Jesus says. That the old preacher says. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You know something? You are created in God's image. That's how special you are to God. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he did not create a couple of ugly ducklings. They would have looked absolutely special. I'm sure Adam would have looked strong, masculine, strength. Eve would have looked absolutely gorgeous. God doesn't do things by halves. And today, you are still created in his image.
God loves you. And as we are growing older, how we need to remember that. But as we, when we are young, how we need to learn that too. That in God's eyes, we are all special. We are all special. Jesus spoke about our worth in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said something about how valuable we are to him. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than what? Many sparrows. What a wonderful statement. How precious we are in the eyes of our Maker. How true it is that we should remember our Maker in the days of our youth. To know that we are of value to someone. That we are of value to God. That He cares for us, each one. And that in His arms we are safe. We are safe from the things that so easily beset us, each one. And friends, we do need to remember Him. We need to remember Him often, because the day is coming when we all shall get old. And then die, and then it's all too late. All too late. When the eyelids close for the last time and you stop breathing, it is all too late to get your house in order. Now is the day that we have. Now is the appointed time. Tomorrow may never come. Yesterday is gone forever. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, the preacher said. Remember Him. Remember Him. Ecclesiastes, come with me back there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The first statement he said at the end was to remember our Creator in the days of thy youth. Now let's go to 13. In verse 13, chapter 12, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The conclusion of the whole matter was what? To fear God. To keep His commandments. Why do we have to do that? Why not do our own thing? Where is the freedom? Where is that freedom of being told to have respect for God and to keep His commandments? You know, when you look at what has happened all through the ages, what has been the big issue? What has been the big issue that has faced mankind all the way through? Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth of every nation, kindred, tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Really, in these two verses, the real issue that we're looking at is the issue of worship. Who do you worship? Who is Lord of your life? Is Jesus really the one who is leader of your life? Or have you placed someone else in charge? Remember, he created you. He redeemed you. And he wants to have you in his kingdom. And then there is the other part of the equation, that we keep his commandments. That sounds hard. But before you start complaining, consider the following. Someone once put into a computer the question of putting together what they would call the perfect law for the world to keep. The perfect law for the world to follow. And after a few moments, the computer spat out the answer. The Ten Commandments. If we all obeyed those laws, what a difference it would make to the world around us. No more wars. No more people in want. People would no longer be killing themselves in accidents. The world would be at peace with itself. And remember, in Genesis chapter 1, that is how it began. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, we read, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God created this world, there was peace. Perfect harmony. It was wonderful. When Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he wrote it in his old age. He had lived and learnt by hard experience the truths that God had tried to teach him at the beginning of his reign. But he would not learn. And while he came to his senses, in the end, there was still a heavy price to pay. The record will always testify to the fact of how he behaved. The record also will testify to the fact that there is always a price to pay. And pay that price he did. Where is the kingdom of Solomon now? It is just a memory written on the pages of the history of the Bible. Life is short. Life can seem to have no meaning at times. But for us who are Christians, we can look forward in hope. We do have a Creator. We do have a Redeemer. And one day, he shall return. He will return and take us home. What a promise. What a beautiful promise we have, that hope. And it's a promise and a hope that we must never take for granted. And I hope we will never take it for granted. For it is real. it is still real. And it can be still real for us today. May we take hold of him and never let go of the promise, never let go of what he offers us day by day, is my prayer.